I'm Dr. Rod Porter. Sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and explore some of today's most pressing educational issues through the experienced eyes of leading education personalities. Welcome to Coffee. All right, John. So, you know, you've set yourself up for success here. When I looked at your social profile, you've got pictures of you sort of sneaking and smiling and going through these different, you look like a fun guy. And exactly right. Yeah. So John, I love it that you've got some personality and you were talking off air about that just in education, but tell me about your initial interest in game design and, you know, game-based learning and just the impact that it can have in educational settings.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been a gamer since I was, you know, like in kindergarten, right? All I ever wanted for Christmas was board games. You know, I was playing Yar's Revenge and Pac-Man and all those guys, back in the 70s, right? So I've always been a gamer and I've always loved, you know, board games and video games because, you know, I think they're a really great way, you know, if you're a young person to meet other people, you know, particularly if you're not particularly athletic or, you know, whatever, you know, sports are games too, right? You know, and I talk about that in the book, but, I've always been a gamer. And it was only after completing my dissertation in 2011 that I started to think about the connection between games and learning. I really hadn't made a big connection, you know, before then, but at that point I started thinking that I was designing a class, and if I designed it to function more like a big video game, that might help students who were otherwise they weren't terribly motivated, right? And they viewed a class where the teacher sort of was in control as being a little bit of like a straitjacket, you know, because these were older kids. And so I said, well, you know, look, I play World of Warcraft, right? It's a complicated video game. Why not see if I could design a class that worked like that? And so I did. And some people really liked it and some didn't, but that's what got the inspiration going, right? And then, you know, you think about games and you think about gamification and you think about how kind of gimmicky it can seem. And so I really tried to think about, well, what if it isn't gimmicky? I mean, what if it could actually do something meaningful to help teachers be more effective in their classrooms and students to learn more effectively?
What did you learn in that process, John? Like when you were looking at that and starting to deconstruct it, I mean, what were you learning? I mean, I would imagine there were a number of assumptions that you just had to make as a natural sort of starting point and that you probably had to pivot along the way.
Well, I started from the presumption that games had a way of working, right? I mean, otherwise, the famous quote that something like 15 billion hours of work have been performed in World of Warcraft since the game came out in 2004, right? And you know, just look at how people act with something like Pokemon Go, right? What causes the player to act the way that they do when they're playing a game like that, right? That to me was the heart of what gamified instruction might do or might provide, right? How do you harness that deep motivation to get students to learn something that they might otherwise not be all that interested in, right? Now I started from the presumption that games had a way of doing that and that you could translate that into learning, right? But in my research and in my reflections, there was so much more that games did and could do that could help teachers and that could help learners. That it was sort of like, okay, well, I think I'm in this box, right? But I'm actually in this box, and it's probably even bigger than that, right? You know, I mean, I'm just me. And, you know, people ask me, well, I'm glad your book's out, but what else can I read? I'm like, well, if you want my approach, there isn't all that much. You know, it's a lot more about how do you bring a particular kind of game into a classroom.
And see, that's the interesting angle. It's not, you're not specifically talking about a specific game in that way. You're talking about the ways in which, to the point that you level up, is what's it like when you bring that? It's almost like bringing a new student into a classroom.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. It's really more about taking notions of sociality and community, self-empowerment, self-reflection and flow, and channeling them through a particular engine, because every game is essentially an engine of some kind, right? Put that through the engine with a learning goal in mind, right? I mean, the goal of the game is to win. The goal of a gamified lesson is to win by learning something, right? So if you can take a game that has, say, a cooperative mechanic, right? A game like, say, Pandemic, which is very popular, very famous in board gaming circles. And you don't play Pandemic, you just pull out of it the Pandemic engine, which is about collaborating to solve problems, okay? Well, you put the players, the students, all on one team, say, and maybe you put other students on another team, or maybe you as the teacher create a challenge that these different teams have to try to solve in whatever way they think is most appropriate. Or maybe, and I write about this particular example in the book, maybe you as the teacher set yourself up as the opposition.
Sometimes you're seen that as that anyway.
Correct. So you put yourself as the opposition to a variety of student teams and set up a learning objective that would be appropriate for that. In the case in the book that I suggested, it was each team writes an exam for a unit of content. The teacher writes an exam, and the teacher and the student then have to take these tests at the same time under time conditions that favor the students, right? If the teacher makes a mistake on the exam, it's like penalty time, right? If the students make a mistake, same thing, right? And if the students end up completing that exam in a time frame faster than the teacher with accuracy, they get some kind of benefit that they can use down the road, right? You know, they get a chip that they could turn in on the next exam that says, I don't have to answer that question, right? Or they get a chip that says, I know you don't answer these kind of questions, but this time you have to. Right? Or something, right? You want to make it playful. You want to make it fun. You want not to put students against each other when it's more about luck than about skill, right? I talk a lot in the book about games of Aegon skill and games of Aaliyah chance, right? If you put a student's grade under the same kind of rules that apply to Yahtzee, they're not going to be very happy about that, right? But if they have to demonstrate something, demonstrate mastery of something in a way that a particular game engine asks them to, that's going to be great for some kids, not for everyone, right? But then I'm not proposing that you take every classroom in America and make it like a video game, right?
Let's expand the discussion a little bit, John. We look at the quality of games and how they have, you know, we went from games that were applied in the classroom that weren't maybe originally meant for that purpose.
Right.
And that of course created a stigma that games were really just formal ways of sort of babysitting and playtime. And now we've gotten some really rigorous games that have been put out there for specifically education.
Right.
How do you, when you look at that and the engagement and the experience that students have, how do you think that that can impact even the professions and the interests that students have outside or after school when they're thinking about what skills and talents they have? Because you've now been supporting this within a classroom environment, and it's not just something they're doing outside of school. What are some of the long-reaching or far-reaching impacts that you see gamification having in education?
Right. I mean, I think that many of them are what you've outlined, right? Namely, building up a higher degree of resilience in the student, right? I mean, if you're accustomed to losing in games, that's a way to get used to kind of having setbacks in life, right? I mean, that's what life is about. You have a setback, you learn from it, you improve, right? I mean, games are uniquely suited to helping you learn, okay, that strategy didn't work. That approach was the wrong approach. But there's a million potentially valid approaches, not just one, but millions. So I'm going to keep at this and learn how to learn how to overcome whatever the challenges that are in front of me happen to be, right? You know, it's a matter of, well, if I see a wall, I can go over the wall. I could go under the wall. I could go around it, maybe. I could take a hammer and bash through it, Donkey Kong style, right? Right. Yeah. So anything that's game related to me, it seems like, is going to help with that. When you take gamified learning out of the classroom into after-school spaces, what you do is you encourage students to take control of their own learning. You encourage them to take an adult's level of responsibility to whatever they're learning, right? I mean, it ultimately doesn't matter, right? You know, that a gamified method works just as well in grade K as it would with a graduate student, right? Self-motivating, if the game is structured correctly, the difficulty will ramp up as the student can deal with the increasing difficulty, right? It's like Tetris, right? It's not Tetris, but it's like how Tetris works, right? And so what does that give a student who's emerging into a work world that is radically different from the one that you and I grew up in, right? I mean, the industrial age is over, people, right? So what does the new world of work look like?
And what kind of skills does that world require?
Correct. Well, it requires skills, I think, that are developed in this kind of framework, right? Entrepreneurial intention, right? Flexibility, an ability to solve problems in a variety of ways, not just one way, right? A willingness to take risks, an ability to speak effectively, to form teams, right? To sustain communities, right? To sustain your own commitment to whatever you're doing in the face of opposition. All of these things are developed just by playing games. Don't even talk about an educational framework, right? Simply play any game, even a bad one.
I was going to ask you that. How do you
play Monopoly? It's a terrible game, right? And the game itself will help you develop these kinds of skills.
How do you evaluate, if we're looking primarily or specifically at a game that is meant to provide educational value to a student within the context of a classroom,
right?
How do you evaluate the quality of that? Because I mean, we're noticing now that, you know, graphics are improving, the experience is improving, the way that they're connecting curriculum before and after the game experience is being improved. So how do you evaluate?
Well, what I'm looking for, if I'm doing game-based learning, okay, that's what you're talking about, right? The books about gamified learning, they're different, okay? So if you're doing game-based learning, what I'm looking for is, does the game itself have a clear instructional objective? Okay, it's not just about play, okay? It's about some kind of learning objective, okay? Is that clear? And is it something that teachers need students to learn, okay? If so, does the play experience give everyone in the classroom something meaningful to do? Okay? No one should be able to pull back. Everyone should be fully engaged. Okay? Sometimes these games, they give the student who doesn't really want to or is not really into it an out. Okay? Gamified instruction, you don't get an out, right? Because you're part of a learning objective more than you are about the game, right? Sometimes these games are going to have, they're going to have graphics, they're going to have stories, they're going to have narratives, they're going to have pieces or equipment, right, that kids are going to find is a little pokey, right? You can't have that, right? These are kids who go out and buy $60 video games, right?
Yes,
the video game industry is five times the size of the film industry. You have got to engage them at their level, right? And that's what many of these games in the educational sector, they can't do that, right? So kids will play them for 10 minutes, but they think, this is ultimately...
Well, and a lot of them, I think people have to define too. I mean, there's a difference between a game, a quality game that's built for education, and an app.
Correct.
I think that we don't, for some reason, we don't talk about that. But a lot of the adults assume that you're talking about some of the same things, and they are completely,
totally different.
Totally different.
Right. Yeah. And an app environment. I mean, there are plenty of apps that are intriguing if you wanted to do gamified instruction, right? I think about something like Tiny Tower. You know Tiny Tower?
I do, yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, it's super repetitive. At the end of the day, you lose interest, right? Because these apps are really designed to get you to commit early, spend a lot of money early, and then disengage, right? But what is Tiny Tower about? It's about building an ecosystem. Okay. In a closed environment. Okay. So you could take that game and ask students to build an environment wholly contained, right? That would be self-sufficient. Okay. And you only get a limited number of pieces with which to work, right? Well, isn't that solve the problem of the space elevator? Isn't that solve the problem of how do you get a team of people to Mars on the cheap? Isn't that what SpaceX wants? It's just Tiny Tower. Right? But that's gamification.
Yeah.
Right? You take what Tiny Tower is about, extract from it its core, and then apply it in an entirely different way.
So, John, what's the next book? I would imagine that now you've started this and you've seen the response that with your energy and enthusiasm, the hands are sort of getting ready for the keyboard.
Right. Well, look, I think the next one is how do you take these unbelievably complicated video games, your World of Warcrafts, your Mass Effect, your Call of Duty, right? Overwatch, right? Games like this. How do you take those games and use them to not create a lesson, but to create an entire course or an entire curriculum, right? Now, there are schools that already do fully gamified curricula, right? What would a diploma from a gamified school look like, right? Now, I talk a lot in other parts of my education practice about alternative credentialing, digital badges, things like that. Well, what better place, seems to me, to start than from a gamified perspective, right? Kids are into these games. If you build the lesson correctly, which you might not, but if you build it correctly, kids will be into it.
And they'll learn.
And they'll learn, right? Because that's ultimately what it's about, right? You know, I want students who are going off to work to have enough confidence in themselves that they will see something that isn't working, recognize that it's not working, and change. That's what games help you do. Oh, I keep playing this card the same way, and it never works. Maybe I should take a different card. Maybe I should do something else.
But at the end of the day, you are engaged, and that's when we're talking about students and all the bigger picture challenges that we're seeing in education. You know, we want to see them engaged. Well, John, you know, hey, congratulations on the book. Everybody can go to, we'll have the link. Obviously, you can see it below this interview with ASCD. It's Level Up Your Classroom, the quest to gamify your lessons and engage your students with the always fun Jonathan Cassie. Once again,
thanks, sir.
Rod Berger. Join us for our next cup of coffee as we continue to have conversations in education that matter to you. I'm Dr. Rod Berger, and this is Coffee.